Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr. We'd like to welcome you to Issues Christian Men's Talk. And today is Monday, the 22nd of January, 2018. And we thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. If you're listening on www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can always call in at 646-668-2636 and join the conversation, ask questions, or talk about any topic that you may want to ask about us. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about disciplines of a godly man, the importance of husbands and fathers, and just what we do here at Issues Christian Men's Talk is give words of encouragement, words of strengthening, words of affirmation for men of God, and for men and men in general, as husbands, fathers, and sons, because we have more in common than we are different. You know, we have the same things we struggle with as husbands, as fathers, as sons, and these are the things that we do and we deal with some of a lot of the same circumstances and same situations. So I encourage you to, again, if you're listening online, I mean, call in and join us and join the conversation. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight, I'm going to open up with scripture and prayer, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. I'm going to talk about a couple of things tonight and give a review and give you some information on upcoming events that we have going on this week. Amen. I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter number 1, starting at verse number 3. And the word of God says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, through the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Verse number 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Father, we say thank you today, God. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, O God. We thank you, God, for creating us, O God. We thank you, God, that you knew us, God, before the foundation of the world, before we were in our mother's wombs, O God. That you knew us and God and purpose for us, O God, to be here on this earth, to live these lives, O God, to touch the lives that we can touch, God, that we might be saved, O God, and we might be used as your tools and as your people, as your church to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, God. We thank you for the shed blood that redeems us. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, O God, for our grace and mercy, O God, that you've shown us in our lives, O God. So, Father, today I ask a blessing, God, on the men, on the husbands, the fathers, and sons, O God, as they, O God, fulfill the purpose and plan that you have for them as they lead in their homes, lead in their churches, and lead in communities, O God. And, Father, today I lift up, O God, all the children, all the young people, young adults, oh God, all those 25 and younger, oh God, that they're in the midst, oh God, that living in this generation, oh God, are being challenged in a certain way to find and shape and mold who they will be, what their character will be, choices they have to make, oh God. So we ask a blessing over them, oh God. We bless, oh God, those behind prison walls, behind jails, oh God, that they might be touched. We pray for the souls of sick and shut in, God, those in intensive care units and hospital beds tonight, oh God. We pray for their healing and recovery, oh God. So, Father, we know, that God, that you are omnipresent, all-knowing, oh God. You are sovereign, oh God. So today, God, we ask you, God, watch over your people, watch over your creation. Continue to bless us, increase the church, that we might live a life that's edifying to the body and glorifying you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen, amen. Again, I just want to thank to my listeners out there, for those who called in. Thank you for calling in and joining us tonight. We're going to touch on a couple of things. We're going to talk about men's ministry. We're going to give a word of encouragement. So, first, I want to start with something that we're reading for this is 2018 for encouragement of fathers. Fathers who are going through things with their children. You may have a child that's unsaved, adult children that are struggling in life choices, you know, but we just want to be encouraged. And for young fathers, but if you have those young toddlers and elementary school kids, these are the time when the most important time of your life where you shape and mold them, that you can become a strong influence, someone you can always go to and lean on and be there for them. Let's share something here from the Christian Men's Network to encourage fathers. The core of a man is formed in the breath of his father. As God created man from the dust and breathed life into him, so a young man receives his centering and held close in the arms of his father. The word father means, the word family means father's house. There are six essential gifts and attributes of character and life that every man must give his sons and daughters. They are love, acceptance, value, intimacy, discipline, security. When a father gives his child love, they grow healthy lives. When he gives acceptance, they gain personal affirmation. When he gives value, they increase their sense of destiny. When he gives intimacy, they are able to worship God as well as build healthy relationships. When a father disciplines his children, he shows them he truly loves them. When a father provides security, it reinforces their sense of God's love and grace toward them. These are essential. They cannot be held back or given to wife or pastor to accomplish. This is a man's role as a father. This is just what is expected as a man. When we make a baby, we become a father. It's just what we do. Let's build a new generation of great fathers by becoming good dads. It's never too late to start. Start now, and I know you can. Amen. So again, we just want to encourage the fathers out there, no matter what's going on, what's happening, what struggles you're going through, stand fast. Stand fast. Your children need you. Your daughters and your sons are going to need you. They're going to need you down the road. Even though they may or may not appreciate you right now, the knowing that you're there is important. So I just pray that you will persevere. And like I say, it's easy. And like I say, it's something simple. Because sometimes we have to just be able to let our children make their choices and grow into maturity. But we still pray for them and we mentor and disciple them in that process. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight I'm going to touch on a couple points. I'm going to talk about some disciplines of a godly man. These are some of the disciplines we have to develop as men through the process of as godly men, as men of God. Men have given our life to Christ. We say that we are Christians. We confess Christ as Lord and Savior. We live a life that is conformed to the Bible. We have choices. We think that the Word of God, the Holy Bible, is our blueprint, is our measuring stick for our lives. So these are some of the disciplines. Some of the disciplines we have to pick up. It's not something that comes. It may or may not come easy. It may be a process. For some of us, not everyone was raised in the church or known in the church, but that we are, what we have to be able to do is to know to start the process of maturation and maturing in the things of God and setting some standards and boundaries in our own lives that God can use us for a purpose, that God can use us in the lives of people, and also that we can stand before Him and have well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. So tonight I'm going to talk about the discipline of work. You know, we talk a lot about men having jobs and working and providing for our family financially. But I want to read here, we have the discipline of work. We meet God, the Creator, as a worker in Genesis. So Genesis 1 and 2, God created man in his own image. The way we work will reveal how much we allow the image of God to develop in us. There is no secular, sacred distinction. All honest work ought to be done to the glory of God. We must recover the biblical truth that our vocation is a divine calling and thus be liberated to do it for the glory of God. And that's our jobs, no matter what we do. You know, I think it was Martin Luther King quoted, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a trash, a garbage man or a policeman or a doctor. Do what you do with character, with pride. And that's what we have to be able to do. It doesn't really matter what our job positions are, our vocations that we choose, or the location we find ourselves doing, but are we doing it to the glory of God? But again, this talks about who we are as men of God, as we confess Christ and be in leaders in our homes, and what kind of godly men are we, Christian men. So our work ethic is important. How we do our work, do we accomplish our work? Are we faithful to our jobs? Are we faithful to do the things that we agreed upon? You know, most of our jobs is a contract. We all know what it is. We look at our resumes, we look at our job descriptions. Whatever company we were hired for, are we doing it? And are we fulfilling the position that they agreed to pay us? Sometimes it's simple as that. It doesn't have to be, say, you know, everyone doesn't have to work in the church. Everyone doesn't have to be a pastor, minister, elder to glorify God in what we do. Because if we look at the Old Testament, we look at the prophets, we look at the leaders of Israel, we look at all those. But yet, even when Israel had to take the promised land, they were soldiers. They were foot soldiers. When they built the temple and the tabernacle, there was craftsmen and skilled men who did the job that was called to do. You know, I think back in Exodus, when Moses took the people, took the Israelites out of Egypt, and it was building the tabernacle, the instruction that was given to Moses for men of skill to be able to build, to be able to make the temple, when the temple was being built, there was all skilled men. And that's what we have to see our job is our job and our work that we do. Is it glorifying God in what we do on our jobs? Are we, you know, we called to be salt and light, but then are we being salt and light in the work we're called to do? It's about character issue. You know, character is that thing and what you do and no one's looking. You know, some of us work on teams, some of us work in individuals, have cubicles, offices. You know, we have assignments and tasks that we're given to do. Are we doing them faithfully? Are we fulfilling what we're supposed to do for the 8, 9 hours or 10 hours that we're on a job and getting the work done? And are we faithful to it? And do we do a quality job? Or do we do a shabby job? Even for my entrepreneurs out there, my construction guys, you know, even if you're entrepreneur, small businessman, how are you treating people? How are you treating your customers? You know, are you giving your customers your best? Or are you cutting corners, trying to make a profit by cheating people? Because, you know, and I believe it's in Leviticus, they talk a lot about that, about cheating people or being using unbalanced scales and cheating people out of things. But again, if we read the Word of God, study the Word of God, these are the things and the principles that we will see. Again, because the Word of God can shape and mold us and to the men that God wants us to be, into the church, that we can be a light into a culture, no matter where we live, America, no matter what state we live in, no matter what's going on around us in the cities and the countries and the neighborhoods, the ghettos, the affluent neighborhoods, are we being salt and light where we are? Amen? Amen. The next discipline is perseverance. Hebrews 12:1-2, it talks about, wait a minute, let me get it right here. It's a flip real quick. I was reading for my notes, but then I couldn't catch my Bible, so hold on a minute. You are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Farr, Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8, and every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for 2018. We're expanding. We're going to 9 a.m. on Saturday, so I encourage you to join us there. You can always call in. And we have mostly open line or some guests come in and we try and talk about the issues that affect men's lives and encourage the brothers and share and answer some questions and pray. Amen. Okay, I'm here. I'm in Hebrews chapter 12, reading verses 1 to 3. But wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily deceit us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is shown at the right hand of at the throne of grace. But consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be weary and faint in their minds. So that when we're talking about that, there's a picture of perseverance in four different things. He laid aside every weight, the sin, and clung closely. That includes besetting sins and anything else that hinder us. That we laid aside some of the things, some of our old behaviors, old habits. We dropped those things off. We endured. We start to persevere. I'm recently with in a Bible study, and we're talking about persevering, and God will start to prune some things off us, drop some people out of our lives, and get us to a place where we're dropping some habits just because of our obedience to the word that we learn, the word that we're reading, the word that we understand as we study and we pray and put ourselves in a position with more godly influences in our life. Some of the things start to drop off, the things that hinder us, the way we think, the places we go, the people we know. Because, again, a lot of things can influence a man's life and what he's doing, how he does it. And that's why here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we encourage and believe that we need to have men's ministry, ministry to men, to help men grow, to help men learn how to serve, help men learn how to be husbands, coming together and supporting each other, encouraging each other, and standing beside each other, praying for each other. All those things is the process for maturation and maturity. This is why we need to be able to raise godly men, men who have come to the Christ, men who may be up in years, but yet young in the faith. And then also we can set an example for the next generation of young men. We have a lot of homes now that don't have men in the homes that are speaking to the lives, speaking to these young men's lives, but when they come into the church, what are we doing on purpose to reach them, to speak into their lives, to build those relationships where we can prevent them from making bad choices, wrong choices, or even making naive choices. Sometimes all choices are not even good or bad. They're just naive about the consequences because it all looks good. And that's what we have, the wisdom of age, the wisdom of experience, to be able to speak into the lives of young men. Amen. And with endurance, we run the race that's set before us. Each of us can finish our race. We're called to give a life and a purpose. God didn't just save us. God saved us for a purpose and a reason. God came into our lives. God set it up, our lives. Again, from the foundation of the world to the time we was in our mother's womb, he set our lives up to be used by him, to glorify him, and to edify the body. We always talk about it at men's ministry, at our men up events, that, you know, every man here, every man in the room, there's going to be one person in your lifetime, in your saved lifetime, that's only going to hear the gospel from you. They're only going to come to know Christ from you. They're only going to be saved from hell and punishment for eternally, but to spend eternity before God in heaven is going to hear it from you. So we have a responsibility and a purpose God created us for. There's lives that God wants to use that only we can reach, and we have to be in that place and be prepared to do it. Amen. Focusing in on Jesus. There's always a time that we must trust God. We must focus on Christ. He's the founder. He's the perfecter of our faith. And we have to keep our eyes on him. Look to Christ. Look to his work. Look to what he's done. Look to the Holy Spirit for guidance and direction in our lives. Stay focused no matter what's going on at us. The enemy tries to pull us off through temptation, through lies, through deceit, even through temptations and trials, to pull us off our purpose. But we look to Christ and know that we can endure anything that comes at us. You know, one of the things we have to understand, even as men of God, we give our life to Christ, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean we're going to be challenged. It doesn't mean doubt's going to not come. It doesn't mean that we're going to be challenged and people are going to tell us what we are and what we aren't going to do. And everything may not go our way. There's going to be death. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be loss. There's going to be a lot of things. There's going to be life. The pastor told me once, life is going to happen. Life is going to happen. And anyone that preaches you something else, is you have to, again, if you read scripture, there's a lot of struggles just for choosing Christ. If we look at the book of Acts, if we look at what Peter went through, look at the persecution, that was the epitome of in the beginning. So what do we go through now? And Christ said himself, they hated him, they're going to hate us. But are we prepared to endure that thing? Are we prepared for things not to go? Are we prepared for real persecution? Will our faith persevere past the persecution? I just let that encourage someone right there. Where's your faith when the persecution comes? Will you persevere through the persecution? Amen. Again, I'm Deacon Thomas Foy, and this is just Christian Man's Talk. Our next discipline we're going to talk about is from the church. It's funny. This is something we talked about this week. I was talking about this. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but you don't have to go home to be married. And that example was just given in one of my other programs. You know, you can't say you're married to someone. You can't say you're a husband and a father, and you're never home. You're never in the place where you're supposed to be. You're never in position. And what the church is, too, listen, we're gonna come back to that. But as a Christian, in both cases, if you're not, then you have a very poor relationship. And that's what it's about. That's what the church is about. The church is about relationships. I know the church is taking a lot of hits, and a lot of people have different opinions about churches. It's funny. We always run into folk and talk about they're not going back to church. Church people ain't this, and church people is not that. But, like, you know, a wise pastor told me one time, there's always three sides to every story and every excuse. Is your side, their side, and the truth. So, you know, folk who always say they can't go back to church and church ain't this and church ain't that. but they'll never tell you what they did and what they did not do and what they did not fulfill their commitment. You know, if you were a part of the body of Christ, persevering through when it doesn't go your way, but yet standing and being part of a body, do you leave your job when something happens you don't like? You know, we at this time, in this particular time, I usually don't use current events, but at this particular time, the federal government is on the shutdown and talking about furloughing federal employees. How many federal employees are going to quit their federal jobs because they got furloughed? Or they're going to endure and wait and persevere until this thing is solved? How many of us could walk off a job because we had a bad day, a bad week, and we're just going to walk away from the job and quit it? But we treat the church. Now, how do we treat our churches? We don't like it. We don't like it. We're not going to come for a couple Sundays. We're not going to do this. We're not going to give. We're going to separate ourselves for one day. We just come back when we want to, you know, that kind of stuff. But are we willing to have it to be disciplined to be part of a church body, be in fellowship with believers, like-minded men, women, brothers? Because that's the only way we're going to grow. That's going to test our faith, because we rub up against each other. We see this rough edges, the corners that we have in our life, our blind spots. There's a lot of reasons to be part of a good church, to be part of, to be involved in that koinonia. We talk about fellowship. Even today, some of our churches, they use the word fellowship. It always has to tie with food. Sometimes fellowship is getting, it's just being in each other's company. Just being in each other's company, encouraging one another. It doesn't have to be food. We never attend a full, you will never attain your full spiritual manhood, nor your family reach your spiritual maturity without a commitment to a church. You have to have a commitment to the body of Christ, a congregation. There's so many churches out there who have different forms and fashions and governments and flavors. I just say that, it's flavors. If a church is not your flavor, find one that is. There's so many out here now. The church is a good side to churches being diversified. If you like a big church, you can go to a big church. If you like a medium-sized church, you can find a medium-sized church. If you like a small church with the more emphasis, there's churches out here that meet in homes. That's what they are, small groups. You know, I think of some of the bigger, some of the larger ministries now, 30 years, 25 years ago, they started in the pastor's home as a small group, as a ministry who just wanted to serve the community, coming together, studying the word, praying together, building a relationship, and then went out and started to serve and evangelize. And then 25 years later, they have churches, they have larger churches. But they still have the infrastructure. They're still discipling folks. I think that's the biggest thing. If you're not going to a church where you're growing and learning every week, every month, that you're growing and learning something more about the Word of God, you may be in the wrong church. If you're just going to be entertained to listen to the praise and worship team or listen to the choir, are you involved in the worship and praise for yourself at that time when it's called to come together as a congregation? That's your first test of your maturity there. And then, are you going to a church? Are you participating? Are you learning? Are you taking every opportunity to learn? Are you taking every opportunity to serve? Is the church a priority? Or is your church locked down to only 2 hours on Sunday and maybe Bible study? Every man has to look at himself and see where he is with this. We can't judge. We can chastise. We can encourage, and make you look in the mirror and see yourself. But what kind of church member are you? And one of the other things that, you know, so much when I read this comes back to me, what I learned when I was a young Christian. You know, if the whole church was like you, how would the church really be? If the whole church was as faithful as you and your family are, what kind of church would it really be? Would it be filling what God purposes church for and treasure? Are you participating in your financial support of the church? Are you giving regularly? Are you a cheerful giver? Are you bringing your talents? Are you bringing your creativity to glorify God? You know, we all have things. You know, it's up to us to have the wisdom and discernment to say, what can I do to help glorify God, help build up the ministry? I always tell brothers that whenever we have a men's thing, if you get to a place, because I do understand, you know, that we all have jobs and responsibilities with family, but if we look at our schedules, if we look at our monthly schedule, how much time, if we take out the time we spent in Sunday service and Bible study, how much time per month are we spending in ministry to minister to others, to edify others, and to glorify God? How are we serving in the church body? Because I know most pastors I know, if you, as a man, as a husband and father, went to your pastor and asked him, what do you need me to do? I bet you he will never tell you, we don't need your help. He can use you. You can be used. God can use you. You're there for a reason. And that's where we have to understand our value as men, that we are in place and a purpose for a reason. Never think that we are not, that we are just here. We're just, you know, it doesn't, we don't matter. We all matter, and we matter in the body of Christ. Amen. So tonight, we've been sharing a couple of points. I want to touch on a couple. I didn't want to stay long on your time tonight and listen, but I did want to encourage you in the disciplines of a godly man. So tonight, we touched on the discipline of work, the discipline of perseverance, and the discipline of church and being part of a local body, persevering through the things, the tests and the trials of the enemy, and also just God trying to mature you. Stay around long enough to grow up. You know, when I think about that, something else comes to my education. If what would happen if you quit school in the third grade or fifth grade or 10th grade or dropped out of high school? So I know some men right now know what I'm talking about. You dropped out of high school because you couldn't persevere. You wouldn't endure. You wouldn't do whatever it was. Or you thought something was better that pulled you out of that place because you didn't want to persevere because you thought it was better. But by faith, it's the same way. What are we willing to do? Do we want to achieve and grow and be the man of God that God calls us to be? That we will stand before him and have well done, my good and faithful servant. Discipline of work. To being a man of good character and making and being salt and light wherever we are and doing a job faithfully, diligently, and professionally. Those are godly principles. Amen? Amen. Well, gentlemen, it's coming close to our time here. I thank you for those who have called in and listened online, who called in and listened on your phone, and also any those of you who have come to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr and listened to us tonight. I appreciate you. I thank you. And I want to close out with one thing I want to read to you, that knowing who you are who God said you are, and you are a redeemed man. You are redeemed because of Christ's sacrifice, and you come to faith, because if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. So you are redeemed. You have had your life debt covered. Your future holds an inheritance from God. Your life is no longer worthless, indebted to sin. You have great value now. You are important. You look forward to riches, meaning, and purpose in God's future plans for you. Wherever you are today, God has a plan for you down the road, and you have to get in line with him to be able to meet that plan, because God has a plan for you for the next week, the next month, the next 6 months, the next year, 5 years down the road. God has a plan and a purpose and a place where he wants and needs you to be and wants to use you. I won't say need you, but God wants to use you, your specific you. He doesn't want you to be like anybody else. He doesn't want you to pretend. He doesn't want you to pick up anybody else's bad habits. He wants you to be the man that you are so that he may use you. Remember, God created us all different. The science is caught up with God because now we know DNA. Everybody has a different DNA. It started with fingerprints that we know all fingerprints are different. So God has created us all different for a purpose and for a reason, and you are a redeemed man. So again, I thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We'll be here live on Monday night at 8, Thursday night at 8 p.m., and Saturday morning at 9 a.m. You can call in at 646-668-2636. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can also reach out to us on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter, Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. And join us there. Reach out to us. We have updated coming up men's conferences, men's gatherings. We do devotionals. And we just want to encourage you to come out and join us and be part of us. Meet face-to-face. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.
initiative.